This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of things around the Umpqua Valley that are going on. Well, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. A lot of you already enjoying a four and a half, five-day weekend. And so we wanted to talk about something that this time of year that's real popular with folks having family and friends from out of the area, or maybe family members back in town, is checking out some of the local wineries and tasting rooms. And Scott Kelly is on the board of the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association. Thanks for coming over.
Oh, thanks, Kyle. Always great to be here.
He is just down the street, and so I wanted to bring him in from Paul O'Brien to talk about what's going on. Got something new, Winesgiving weekend. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Thanksgiving in the Umpqua Valley is always a bit of a tradition to get out of the house after we're all well-fed and footballed out and go out and enjoy a little bit of wine in the local wineries. And there's always some great specials and open houses. But the chapter, Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association decided to put together something fun where it's a little more organized. So it's a Winesgiving weekend, and a lot of our members are all participating doing different things. So you'll find everything from library tastings, food and wine pairings, some fun, interesting, regionality tastings, and just having a good time and sharing some of the best of the Umpqua Valley.
And it gives you an opportunity, if you've got guests in town, to kind of spotlight, especially if you've been talking to them about local wine, getting them to actually try it.
Absolutely. And we look forward to a lot of past visitors who came in on Thanksgiving with a family member who are now wine club members, and they come in and visit us. And so we're always looking forward to seeing folks, new and old friends, come in and see us during the Thanksgiving weekend.
So do you pick up people like that very often that are passing through, or they're here for whatever reason, and they like your wine so much that they do join your wine club, even though they may be three or four states away?
Absolutely, quite often, and that's the beauty of it is, you know, you try before you buy, and then if you really enjoy the products and the story behind what we produce, we can have you join the wine club, and most often we can ship them right to your state. So
has the whole aspect of shipping, has that improved?
Oh, no, that definitely has not improved. That's still a royal pain. We have to have a separate permit for every state that we ship to. But most of the wineries are pretty adept at managing that. And we can all ship to a fair amount of states in the end.
Wow. So it would really, for the industry overall, it would really be easier nationally if there was something on the federal level then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, since the appeal of prohibition or repeal of prohibition, the federal government threw up its hands, said, you know, states' rights, so every state had the right to make its own laws, which they did, and that created a bureaucracy of permits. So yeah, every state, it varies, but I would say all but about two or three states, we have to have a permit to ship there.
Wow. And probably that, is it harder to ship out of the country too?
Yeah, much more difficult to ship out of the country. So that, you know, not only just cost, but there's regulation around that as well.
Wow. So you've got a lot of folks in the local wine industry here, and it seems like one of the unique things about this is every tasting room, every owner, everybody's got kind of their own way of doing things. So it's not like walking into a franchise wine shop.
No, absolutely not. You don't have chocolate and vanilla here. You get all the spice of variety, especially in the Umpqua. You know, one of the great things about our region is we have the ability to grow a wide variety of wines. You know, for instance, some of the wines we do are Italian-based, based on my experience working in Italy. So we're going to do an Italian pairing wine flight for Thanksgiving this weekend. It'll be kind of fun to showcase some of the Italian-style wines. Of course, these are all wines made here in the Umpqua, but they're all Italian-inspired. Of course, Abbasella doing Tempranillo. A lot of us do Pinot Noir. So you get really quite the variety here in the Umpqua Valley.
So when you made wine over in Italy, where were you at?
I was in Tuscany. Yeah, and so my love of Italian wines grew from that and working with Sangiovese. And so I still make a few different Sangioveses at Paul O'Brien.
So which part of Tuscany?
I was based in Montalcino. Of course, worked out of Siena, worked down in Grosseto, and up out of Florence quite often. So
wow, and you probably don't know. I was just there a few weeks ago.
I do know that. I listen to the radio, Kyle. I'm a listener, too. You know.
So it was, you know, to be over there, we got to two wineries. One of them was at an agro-tourism site as well, so people could, you could have dinner there, full dinner, and people could spend the night there, spend a week there, whatever. It was really unique, and one of the first one we went to was on our first full day, and we went to a place that it looked kind of small and in one way, in terms of their tasting room wasn't very big, et cetera, but the land had been in that family since the 1300s.
Yeah, quite often you run into that. The Frescobaldi family, who I worked with over there, had been in the business for 750 years. And so, you know, they made their money collecting taxes for the Pope. I mean, it's just, it kind of is a different world over there. But at the end of the day, they know how to live the good life and enjoy food and wine. And as, you know, part of the wine community here in the Umpqua, we encourage people to get out and, you know, enjoy some time with friends and family this weekend and enjoy a glass of wine at one of our wineries.
So let's talk about the pairing aspect. I always thought, back when my parents were still alive, they didn't drink wine, but I was trying to impress them and sound like I knew what I was doing. And so I would explain why I picked out the particular wine I did to go with the meal. Whether I was totally accurate, I'm not sure. I'm kind of in the, you know, still a bit in the learning curve there. But if somebody is thinking today, you know, let's say they're going to have a typical turkey dinner, what would be a good varietal to go with that?
Yeah, obviously turkey dinner, we're looking at, you know, Chardonnay, Fumé Blanc, which is Sauvignon Blanc, and Pinot Noir are kind of my three top favorites to go with the turkey dinner. We always like to have a few different wines around. Certainly there's great pairings on the table, but then, you know, most of us eat fairly early on Thanksgiving Day. You're sitting around watching the rest of football, so it's always good to have some bigger reds around for the end of the evening. You want to kind of pop a cork on one more bottle and enjoy while you're sitting around watching some football. So we tell people kind of have a wide selection around. You never know what people are going to like. But as far as pairings go, I love Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and maybe a Sauvignon Blanc.
What about if you're having ham?
Ham, Pinot Noir is excellent. Pigs and Pinot, you can't go wrong with that. So,
and any difference, like if somebody's doing tri-tip?
Well, then we get a little bit bolder, right? So we're looking at Tempranillo, maybe getting into Merlot and Cabernet. Those are always great pairings with prime rib or a tri-tip or something like that.
And if somebody is doing an all-vegan Thanksgiving meal, what about that?
Well, it depends on what's in there. You know, a lot of times we're looking at mushrooms, especially this time of year, which is a great choice. And here again, I come back to Pinot. I love mushrooms with Pinot Noir. Anytime we're doing like a mushroom risotto or mushroom stuffing or something like that, Pinot Noir really plays in with the earthiness of the mushrooms.
So for you, for Paul O'Brien, you guys source grapes from a lot of different places. And do you have any of your own land at this point?
Yeah, we have a 6.5-acre vineyard on my home property. That's our estate vineyard that has a few different varieties that we work with. We do GSM, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvedre, of course, Pinot Noir, Sauvignon Blanc, and Chardonnay there as well.
And how long has that been going?
We planted that in early 2018.
So, and what part of the Umpqua is this in?
Yeah, this is located out in the Western Hills. Pretty much everything we work with is out in the Western Hills, the foothills of the Callahan Mountains. That soil type, you know, we're 100% dry farm, so it's a really nice, well-drained, sandy clay loam, and tends to lend itself perfectly to what we like to do.
So why dry farm versus any irrigation?
Yeah, you know, growing up in California, making wine down there for 20 years before moving up here, everything is hydroponically farmed. And I just didn't feel like the vines were truly tapped into the terroir of the soil. In Italy and a little bit in France where I worked, it's all dry farm mandated. And so you end up really seeing the difference in the maturity of the wines. They don't tend to get as overripe. They tend to be a little more balanced, have higher acidity. And we get wines with better concentration and nerve.
And let's see, for Paul O'Brien this weekend. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, so we've got a $25 food and wine pairing, Italian-inspired. So we're going to do a small plate, sort of a three-course, and include some library wines, some of our first Sangiovese, and a super Tuscan we do called Il Rinnegati, which is Sangiovese Merlot with a touch of Syrah. And we're tasting the first vintage, which is 2014, versus current vintage, as well as a few of our other Italian wines, and of course our Italian dessert wine, Moscato. And we've got a new surprise that we're excited to share with people. So,
which you're not going to reveal on the radio.
No, of course not. You got to come in and check it out. It's our first ever, and I'll stop there.
Yeah. Sometimes people will just keep talking, but Scott is smart enough not to. And again, just about all the folks in the wine industry here really put a big effort out this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Hillcrest Winery is doing some library tastings. I know over at Knotsman, he's doing a Malbec vertical, which I'm really excited about. Abicella's got some great food and wine pairings. And, you know, if you're out Elkton way, they've got a big celebration this weekend. I think Lex-M is open now. Bradley is doing some holiday shopping with some jewelry, as well as some wine flights. So you get a good mix. Melrose has some great food and wine pairings as well. So get out, take your family out, get off the couch, and go enjoy some food and wine. Should be an awesome weekend.
All right, Scott Kelly from the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association, and Paul O'Brien, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you bet, Kyle. Thank you.
1246, part two in a moment on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1, and here we go into the holiday season. The production is called Have Yourself a Crazy Little Christmas, opening next week at Umpqua Actors Community Theater. Martin Follacy is the UAC board president, joining us on the phone this afternoon. Martin, thanks for being on.
You bet, no problem.
So tell us about this production.
This is about a family, and it's just going through the crazy times that family has on Christmas morning day, and so it's very, very hilarious.
And where did you get the script for this?
Actually, I'm not quite sure where they got the script from for this. So it's from one of the publishers, so I'm not sure.
Interesting. So how many actors do you have in this?
I'm not the director, so I don't know that either. It's a good number of kids. I mean, there's a lot of kids in there. There's many adults, so it's got probably close to 30 people in it.
You know, when I was looking at the synopsis here, when the information got to me originally, I was just thinking about how many people this has got to be so relatable. I mean, you just have all the crazy stuff that happens in even seemingly normal families where stuff just goes sideways on the holiday season more than it does any time during the year.
Absolutely, yes. You know, when you've got, you know, mother-in-laws and all the different personalities, it does make Christmas time very interesting.
So, Umpqua Actors Community Theater, you've been involved in the local theater scene for decades. When did you really get started?
I think it was about 2011 is when I really started, you know, where I joined the board and started directing shows. And then later on, I started writing shows for UAC, and it seems like forever, but it's been a wonderful time.
But before you jumped into UAC, you were doing this as a theater teacher, right?
Yes, I am still doing theater at Riddle High School. We just put on one show a year, and I still do that in April. So I always save my time away from UAC in April for Riddle High School.
So other than the one show a year, are you retired from teaching now?
Nope. I teach half-time, so I only teach in the morning, the bands, and then after school is my drama.
Interesting. So as you worked with the folks at UAC, one of the things I know you are especially like is to, just as you do as a teacher, but in the UAC framework, encourage young people to take a look at acting. And I know you've got this trip to Broadway coming up.
We do. We do. We've been raising quite a bit of money for the kids. We've got right now 38 students signed up to go to New York in March. And we will be able to go there and see three Broadway musicals, get a Broadway meet and greet. We will do a workshop. We will, of course, see the different areas of New York and see some theaters like Carnegie Hall and Radio City Music Hall. Radio City Music Hall is the one theater that we can actually walk onto stage, and the kids can stand on stage and look out where the audience would be in the different, and I think there's like four levels of balconies and stuff. So that's a big thrill when the kids get to walk on that stage and look out. So it's just a fantastic time for the students.
How many trips with students have you done to Broadway?
For UACT, this will be our second one. I did take my high school band to New York in 2009, but for UACT, this will be their second trip, and we do it once every 2 years. So we've been, like I said, raising money. We still haven't got quite all the money that we need, but we're working on it.
So if somebody wants to get involved in terms of helping your fundraising, how can they do that?
Just call the theater. Let Melody Swagel know, and we can definitely use the help. We still need to get a bus to take the kids from Roseburg all the way up to Portland. We also would like to get enough money to have one dinner at Ellen's Stardust Diner, which is a fantastic place in New York where all the waiters and waitresses are Broadway musical wannabes. And so they sing periodically every 10, 15 minutes. One of them will start singing.
Wow, that's got to be a treat.
Oh, it is. It's just fabulous. It's just absolutely wonderful. We have never taken the students. I've taken my high school band there, but we plan on taking the students there, but we have to pay for the meal. So we're working on raising money for that.
Wow, a big effort there. And I mean, if you've got this many kids signed up, there's got to be a lot of interest. And I'm sure whatever part of Douglas County they're from, you can talk about the last group, their eyes really get probably open pretty wide when they hit Manhattan.
Oh, absolutely. I love this, to watch the students when we hit the streets, when they get off the bus and we actually walk down like Fifth Avenue and the buildings are, taller than the trees we have around here. And so the kids are just really big-eyed and big wow for them. And then I think one of my biggest joys is watching them see their first Broadway show. I always sit kind of down in front of them so I can turn around and look at their faces when they see the show the first time. And it's just amazing. And then last year, we also were able to watch Back to the Future. And then we went to the backstage door and waited. And I wasn't sure it was going to work out. But fortunately, we had the guy who played Biff comes out and talks to the kids. And he was absolutely wonderful. And then the guy who played Marty McFly, the star of the show, came out and spent so much time with my kids. He signed every of all the programs they had. He took individual pictures. He took group pictures. He just was absolutely amazing.
Wow. Well, I know I've gotten to Broadway once. We saw The Lion King about 20 years ago, and that was just out of sight.
Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. So we are going to be hoping to see Wicked, and then the other two, we're not quite sure yet what we were going to see. So
for this new production, Have Yourself a Crazy Little Christmas, it opens next week, and I understand tickets are selling pretty fast.
Yes, I believe we have right around just maybe a little bit more than 100 tickets left for the entire run. So I encourage everybody to get on the website and, purchase those tickets because once they're gone, they're gone.
And it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays at 7, Sunday matinees at 2. And I think I heard the Sunday matinees are all full.
I believe so. The Sunday afternoons.
And tickets for that, $17 for adults, $12 for children 12 and under. Real quick, what else should people know about UACT?
Well, UACT is it's going strong. We're just doing great. We have Sweeney Todd coming up. Then right after that, in April, we have The Revolutionists, which is an amazing play. And then in June, we have one that I wrote, The Cuckoo Clock, which will be a debut because it's never been performed anywhere else before.
Wow, a lot going on with Umpqua Actors Community Theater. And again, have yourself a crazy little Christmas. Opening next week, Martin Follisi, the board president. Martin, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
All right, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.